Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
So far we had been discussing chapter 13, the Kshetra Kshetragna Vibhaga Yoganam, the differentiation between the field and its knower. And obviously we say, well, we have already seen all these concepts in the previous chapters, then why this elaboration? The answer is something like this, that I have read too many of the physics books, so I know about the Einstein's theory of relativity. But my understanding of theory of relativity, and a physicist like Sid Carey's understanding of theory of relativity, is completely different. He knows further into detail how to prove this, how to experience that concept. So up till now in the Bhagavad Gita, we have learned the concepts about what is our limited self and what is the nature of the Supreme Self. But then how do we meditate on this to make this crystal clear in our mind? That exercise is now part of this discussion in this chapter. Difference between the object and the subject. We have seen the Bhagavad Gita is the text of our subjective knowledge. How to differentiate the self from the non-self is the exercise and explanation in this chapter. In the beginning of the chapter, Arjuna asks questions saying, I want to know what is Purusha and Prakriti, what is Kshetra and Kshetragna, what is knowledge and to be known. Bhagavan right away said that idam sariram kaunteya iti kshetram. This body is the kshetra. And the knower is that supreme self which is all-pervading. Simple but profoundly changing our paradigm about what we thought is the world and who is the knower. I am the knower and the world is to be known. World is my field and I am the experiencer, doer, perceiver in that. And that's where Bhagavan now makes it. Idam sarira, this body is the field. And the one who is functioning through the body, one who uses the body is the field, is the knower of the field. And now the verses which we have seen explain that field into greater detail. Because if we stop right here, say, okay, I figured out, this body is the field. But Bhagavan says, no, the field, idam sariram, includes the entire world of our thoughts, emotions, and perceptions. Anything which I can perceive is an object, and therefore it is part of the field. So continuing in that argument, those of you exploring other texts, there is another Prakaran Grantha by Shankaracharya called Drik Drashya Viveka. Discrimination between the seer and the seen, which basically takes the same subject in a slightly different way. For my eye, the world is the seen, and the eye is the seer. But the one who sees my eye, the eye is the object, and the seer who sees the eye is the seer. And you can continue that argument till you differentiate who is the real seer in case of my perceptions, feelings and thoughts. Verse 4 onwards says, Tat kshetram yatcha yadrukcha yadvikari yatahacha yat sacha yaha yat prabhavascha tat samasena meshruna. In the first two verses, he just gave a very quick definition. Idam sariram kshetra, the knower is me, the all-pervading. I will explain now in brief both. So the first line says, what is kshetra? Tat kshetram, that field. Yatcha yadrukcha, what it is, what is its nature? Yadrukcha, yat vikari, and what are its modification? Because it's not as simple as saying, well, I know my body. what my thoughts are, how it changes. Yatah cha yat, what causes what to come into existence? What is the cause and effect relationship? How did my field of experience turned out to be very different from your field of experience and her field of experience and his field of experience? And normally we will say, Bhagwan Maru Prarabdha, my fate, that I am suffering this and he is enjoying this. Yesterday a friend of mine called me up and said, Neil, I am in Cape Cod lying in hammock. Well, why am I working here and he is enjoying there? We are the same age, same profession, same things, but he is now traveling around the world and enjoying, and me still worrying about what's going to happen next. So, how did that happen, that my field of experience is different than yours? Bhagavan says, yatah cha yat. It's very important for me to know. If I want to understand where my limitations and the shortcomings and the problems are coming from, it will help me eliminate them. If I know I have a toothache, but why it is there, if I don't know, I can't. So when I go to the dentist, he said, because of this, you have a cavity on such and such, and I'm going to do that. Once you know the cause, it is possible to remove the effect. Shortcomings in my life, unhappiness in my life, are the effect of the cause which I have to remove. So Bhagavan says, I'll explain to you all in brief. Not only that, but I'll also explain to you such a yaha. Who is that? That we call the seer, the experiencer, the knower of all these happenings. Who is the knower? Yat prabhavah cha, and what are his powers? I sometimes take myself, well, I'm just a helpless being. I can't change my fate. I can't change my situation. This is what I'm put up in. I was born in such and such situation. Bhagavan said, you should know the power of that knower, that who that is, in yat prabhavaha. I will explain to you that also. Tat samasena. I'll explain to you in brief. Because, well, we don't have time. We have war to fight. So I can only explain to you in brief. Swamiji says, not for you. Not in brief, because you have a Swami between this Krishna and here, explaining to you in detail. So you don't have an excuse saying, I didn't understand it. You know. So, as Swamiji points out, all of our sastras are written in this style where now the modern gurus of how to make the effective presentation teaches you and say, tell them what you're going to tell them. Tell them and tell them what you told them. Our sastras are the people who founded that principle of the most effective presentation. So it builds your expectation. Well, what we are going to learn, so you're prepared for it. So Bhagavan says, I'm going to tell you all this thing. I'm going to tell you what is Kshetra, what's its nature, what's its modifications, and how those modifications come into being by cause and effect relationship. I'll explain to you all. So the next verses which you're seeing is about describing the Kshetra and changing one more time our definition of the field. It's not this world outside or not just this body. Enumerating just this will not give me the clear understanding of what the field is all about. The next verse, actually, one more time, it's a commercial. The subject which we are talking about is not something you can take it lightly. This subject is nothing new that I came up with just to fill the time. This is something very important and tried and true knowledge which is useful in eliminating all your shortcomings. So you say, Rishibhi Bahudha, many, many rishis, you know, Bahudha, not just one rishi, not just my guru or his guru, but say many, many rishis. Rishihi Bahudha, Gitam Chandobhi Vividaihi Prithak. In many, many different songs and chanda chants have described this thing in many different ways. All I am doing is putting all that together for you to understand it. collected, it's like Reader's Digest version. Gather knowledge from the vast array of Vedic literature, where these ideas have been expounded by the rishis from their self-realization or self-experience and given out to their students in different chants and different songs, that are Brahma Sutra Padeh Chaiva, which indicates the nature of the Brahman. This is the quest of our life. We want to find out who has control over myself and my situation. And we come to the conclusion that there is one supreme entity which has a control over everything and everybody, which in our common language called God, in the Vedantic language called Brahman. He said, this Brahman was realized by all these rishis and sages in their contemplation, in their meditation, and they indicated them in many, many verses and many, many chants, in many different ways that they thought the students will understand. That knowledge of the Brahman is what I will be teaching you. Then the next argument will be, sometimes I think that the world has evolved, the civilization have evolved over the last many thousands of years. We have come to understand the nature of this universe much better than any generations before me. Then why should I, at this level, go back to the knowledge which about 3,000 years ago? Obviously, when this Upanishads were written, somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 years ago. We know historically now, after all the scholars say. Well, the 3,000 years ago, their knowledge of this universal world was extremely limited, because knowledge increased exponentially. Every year, that the gigabytes on our gadgets, what it used to be in 1984 or 5, when I bought the first Commodore 64 for my son, and now what I have in my little iPod is completely exponential. Then am I really smart enough to go back to that knowledge about 3,000 years ago and say, oh, this is right, all this thing is wrong? Hetu madbihi. This knowledge was not just given out without any reasoning or explanation. It was time and again was argued about the validity of this knowledge. Generations after generations, one set of rishis came up with it, the next set of rishis have argued and then proved themselves. And that continued. Every generation of the sages, including the current day sages, they have argued and by logic have concluded that this is the truth. So, hetu bhidbihi vinischitaihi, and then finally, decidedly, came to the conclusion that this is the nature of the Brahman. Therefore, it is important for us. It's not just that the one Krishna somewhere came out during the battlefield and said, well, let me appease this guy who is not ready to fight. Then I'm going to tell him something so at least it motivates me to start working. He said, this knowledge, generations after generations of sages have tried and proven to be true, given out to their students in various ways. All I am doing is putting it together for you to learn. Therefore, pay attention. And now he describes the next two verses. What is the nature of the field? Mahabhutani ahankaraha. Obviously, the enumeration. Mahabhutani. Five great elements. So you take this entire world of objects, and it boils down to the five basic elements, earth, water, space, fire, and whatever I missed. These five at the basic, at the perceivable level, without having any instrument, or if my perception level, I can define that everything made of it is some kind of a matter from the earth, some in a water, some kind of a fire in it, some kind of space in it, and some kind of air in it. So this five makes in a different proportions when it's assembled, create these myriads of names and forms in this world. So that's the first field of my experiences, Mahabhutani. Ahankaraha. All this really doesn't matter as long as I am not there to experience it. Either the standard idiom about if a tree falls in a jungle, does it make sound? If there is nobody there to listen, it really doesn't matter. If there is no ahankar, this world of objects have no value whatsoever, whether it exists or don't exist. You know. So it says, ahankar, I, the perceiver, thinker, the enjoyer or knower, is there. Buddhihi, intellect to grasp it. Grasp the experience and come to the conclusion, that's what it is. Neil, what is it? Well, that chair. Why do you think it's a chair? Because I know it's a chair. Why do you know it's a chair? Because last 63 years which I had been around, everybody calls it a chair and everybody agreed that it's a chair. Therefore, it's a chair. So my buddhi comes to the conclusion, so that buddhi, avyaktam, unmanifest. Now this is obviously a very interesting concept and it only exists probably in our literature. It's unmanifest. Now this is not the unmanifest as the Supreme's, unmanifest as our tendencies. I interpret this world differently than you would or she would or he would, depending on my tendencies. Wimbledon is going on right now. Right now, what is it? It's a final match between... Some of them are not here because they're watching tennis, right? How can you miss, you know, the final Wimbledon match? Gita class will be every week. This will be only once a year. Because of my tendencies. But for me, well, match I can record. Gita class is more important. My tendency decides my field of experiences. Our field of experience today, this is more important. Therefore, we are here. For others, it was others. Each one of us creates our own field by these latent tendencies in us, which is unmanifest. That's not something even I think about it. That's not something which is apparent to others. But it's inherent in me. Swamiji calls it vasanas. And a lot of people have commented that the vasana word is nowhere in Bhagavad Gita. Swamiji uses it very, very extensively. This vasana, the fragrance of my tendencies, which is created out of my past experiences, my past existence as something other than who I am today, created this. So somebody asked me, Neil, what's your favorite food? I said, dal dhokli. Or if somebody who is an American or who is not a Gujarati, say, what is dal dhokla? Why do you like it? That's because my previous existence in India as an Indian, as a Gujarati, growing up there, developed that. You have never been to the environment, you never had any liking for dal dhokla, or if it is in front of you, you won't even look at it. For me, it will be a joy. Why? Because of my past experience, past existence as something other than who I am today. That creates the tendencies creates my reaction to the outer world. So that avyaktam, very important. Without that, you will be zero. You take all these vasanas out of you, and you are left with nothing. That's where you realize. Because there's nothing left of you as an ego. So avyaktam, indriyani dasaikam, 5 karmendriyas, 5 gnanendriyas, 10 indriyas. Without that, my experiences are not possible. Panchahacha indriya gocharaha, and 5 sense objects. Now, this is quite obvious to us, but we never think about it that way. That this world is divided into 5 types of objects, which each one relates to my one sense. So the eyes, the world of forms and colors, for the ear, the world of sound, for the skin, the world of touch, so on and so forth. And each one is unrelated to other. I cannot hear, my ear cannot see. So this, obviously, our modern day entertainer figured out that if you can involve as many senses, that entertainment will be more sellable. So the first you have the CD player to play just the music. So you can have only, you can hear the sound. Well, that's only one sense get involved. But they make the same song in the music video, It's more popular because now you involve the two senses, my ear as well as my eye. Therefore, music videos are more popular than just songs. And then if that's not enough, then you can create a dinner theater for that. So your dinner theater, where you have a food and smell, two more, and also touch. All five senses are completely engaged now. I'm watching these music videos or the movies and eating at the same time and enjoying. Well, therefore it costs more. More senses you involve, more engaged you become in this world. And it experience seems more real and more enjoyable. Panchaha cha indriya gocharaha, the objects of my senses. And now the next verse actually includes things which we would have normally not included as the world of our field. It's a Icha Dveshaha Sukham Dukham Sangataha Chetana Drutihi Etat Kshetram Samasena Savikaram Samudahritam. Including into those other things we have seen, which is quite obvious, seems like filled, but also the world of my emotions and thoughts, Icha, desire, Dvesh, hatred, Sukham, happiness, the sense of pleasure, Dukham, sense of pain, Sangataha, Sangata, the aggregate of this sense, all that, this body, Chetana, Chetana, that I am conscious, I'm aware. So Chetana is something which I'm alive, the life which I experience, and Drutihi, fortitude. No matter what, I will continue this thing till I get what I want. You know, it may be very painful right now, but I think I will get what I want. So our Dhruti to work in this field also, is that all this is the modifications. And this happens as the cause and effect. My Icha, desire, comes from the cause, which is my Vasana. I have experienced Starbucks coffee before, which has created a likings in my Vasana for Starbucks coffee. Passing by Starbucks, even though I did not have any idea to drink coffee right now, I thought maybe I should stop by and get a cup of coffee. So all these are cause and effect related. These modifications are created by my Vasanas. Therefore, my field of experience is different than yours, because your Vasanas are different than mine. Etat Kshetram. Thus, I have explained to you Kshetra in its totality in brief, which was explained as Idam Sariram in the verse 2nd. Now I explain to you in totality. That's where we will stop.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Harihi Om, Shri Gurubhyo Namaha, Harihi Om.